in my day.
Members being treated here and at other veterans facilities are focused on what they have left to give rather than what they have lost.
Hey, Truth Seekers, good evening. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Yeah, that was Chuckle Nuts today as he had the audacity to use maimed soldiers for a photo op in urging Congress to pass his request to keep maiming soldiers like the ones he stood near today. It's enough to make you just want to do something mean. Oh my God! Did you see it? Did you see it? NBC ran the video today. I didn't think they would because I saw some of the photographs that were released by the White House on I think it was on CNN. I mean, these are severely burned GIs who Bush has the I don't know. Bush is a monster. He is a monstrous son of a bitch, just down to his socks. Boy, what a human being. Oh, I didn't want to start that way tonight. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. It's about 8 minutes past the hour. Pat Robertson's endorsement of Giuliani the other day, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but I've got to say, that just keeps eating into my cerebral cortex. The fact that here's Pat Robertson, who said that God or agreed with Jerry Falwell. I forget which one of those two pimps actually said it. But God lowered the curtain of protection over the U.S. because of the queers and the secularists and the feminists and the gays. And as a result, God lowered his mighty fist of protection, and 3,000 people died on U.S. soil. Now, that is a wicked, filthy, degenerate, demonic point of view. But Giuliani accepts that? Giuliani says, his entire campaign is built on the way he responded to the attack on New York. So what does this mean? This really is going to require a Zen master to figure out. Is Giuliani saying God is a real son of a bitch for doing this? Or is he saying that he's ready to fight God? Or is he saying that Robertson doesn't know his ass from left field? What's going on here? How can he accept an endorsement from someone who apparently believes that God made this happen in a fit of pique of some sort? You know, I'm pissed off at those New Yorkers because, well, you know, it's legal to get an abortion in New York. I know what to do. I'll kill 3,000. I mean, this is like Exodus. This is like that sick, sorry old God that apparently is still around somewhere, floating in the ether, at least to the extent where Pat Robertson has a direct line to him. But Giuliani's accepting an endorsement like this? God. Giuliani has had a lot of conflicting opinions, but he's never gone so far as to say New York had it coming. He's agreeing with a man who said New York and the United States got what it deserved. And Giuliani, this stupid bastard, is standing up there going, And with the indictment of this mob-connected Bernard Carrick today, that ought to just about sink Giuliani, shouldn't it? I mean, it should. You think George Bush is a Nazi? Oh, wait until in your wildest acid trips there was a Giuliani presidency. Oh, my God. And what's up with Pat Robertson? Why a thug like Giuliani over an ordained Baptist minister like Mike Huckabee? Well, there's a quick answer to that. Pat Robertson is a scum-sucking pimp. He's a hustler. That's all. He wants to be, once again, near the seat of power. I don't know why. Maybe he thinks that'll prevent his death. But I think he full well knows that the day of his reckoning is coming, and when he steps off this mortal plane, he's going to meet the same thing that Jerry Falwell met. Nothing. So why not live it up, right, Pat? God, and these people claim to be Christians. They claim to be followers of Christ. Giuliani follows a church that covers up the sexual assaults of God knows, only God knows. I know he doesn't exist. How many priests who rape boys and girls, just repeatedly rape them, and this is Giuliani's church. That's disgusting. And Pat Robertson sucks up to somebody like Giuliani, who in turn sucks back by accepting his endorsement, a man who says that God beat the Christ out of New York because New York was sinful and represented a sinful America. And there's Giuliani standing there with that buck-tooth, chrome-dome, crap-eating grin of his. I wish somebody would just tell Giuliani, hey, look, go find somebody to cheat. Well, he can't cheat anymore because he can't get it up anymore. He's got all that prostate problem. And Giuliani's twice divorced, adulterous, pro-choice, gun control, anti-abortion views are closer to Pat Robertson than Mike Huckabee's views to Pat Robertson. Well, of course, Pat Robertson is a pimp, P-I-M-P-P, a pimp. He's a pimp. No offense to sex. Well, a pimp's not a sex worker. A pimp is a sex exploiter. But that's what Robertson is. Oh, my God. And every time, you know, now that Falwell is dead, whew, what a breath of fresh air that was. Now, anytime these crappy networks want a direct line to some sick, perverted, twisted version of Christianity, now they go to this sorry Pat Robertson. And there's Giuliani. I had the feeling that Giuliani had his hand on Robertson's ass when he accepted that endorsement. Didn't you? Thanks, Pat. Makes me angry. The destruction of the World Trade Center was God's punishment. And Giuliani says, thank you, Pat. Gail Collins, writing in the Times yesterday, said Robertson's backing will surely give Giuliani a leg up among voters who believe that God sends disasters to punish Americans whose school board members believe in the theory of evolution, or who have the bad luck to live near an inclusive amusement park like Disney World. Oh, my God. And when Robertson endorsed this piglet Giuliani, he said, our second goal should be the control of massive government waste and crushing federal deficits. Where in the Bible does it talk about that, pimp? Hey, pimp, where does it talk about massive deficits, huh? When did government spending become part of the divine agenda? Somebody tell me, pimp. Pimp. And not only is he a pimp, he's a lion pimp. As Gail Collins points out, who among us will forget the time he claimed that the special protein shake he was marketing had enabled him to leg press 2,000 pounds? Or the time he said God had given Ariel Sharon a massive stroke because Sharon let the Palestinians run Gaza and the United States should assassinate the president of Venezuela? You pimp! God, what a piece of human waste! And Giuliani stands right up there, doesn't he? Thank you. All right. I had to get off my chest. Oh, God. Giuliani and Robertson, yeah. Giuliani would accept the endorsement of Satan himself. He really would. He would accept the endorsement of Muhammad Atta if he thought that would get him some votes in the Muslim community in the United States. Giuliani, Pat Robertson may be a pimp, but you know what Giuliani is? Yeah, you know. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Lines in the street, got a couple working on the changes for me, but I gotta keep my game tight like Kobe on game. I like taking from a don't know no better. I know that ain't right. I've seen people killed, I've seen people deal, I've seen people live in poverty with no meals. It's fucked up where I live, but this is how it is. It might be new to you, but it's been like this for years. It's blood, sweat, and tears when it come down to this.
Really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen.
You point the thing in their face? Is that what he said? Oh, the finger. I thought he was pointing his thing. Ah! But you're dead now, Jerry! How's everything in hell? Curious in Miami writes regarding Dr. Robertson. Mike, I was wondering, is this the same Pat Robertson who shot a video of food being loaded onto a plane to be sent to starving African children, only to unload the food after the shoot and put diamond mining equipment on board and fly that to the diamond mines in Africa? That Pat Robertson? Yes, that one. There is a special little round hole in hell where Pat Robertson will be inserted head down when he steps off this mortal plane. God, I hate these people. They just disgust me. Ah! From Suzanne in Miami, she writes, Mike, this morning I heard Dennis Kucinich being interviewed by Nicole Sandler, who hosts a morning show in South Florida on WINZ. Dennis spoke a bit about his resolution being sent to the House Judiciary Committee and its chances of moving forward with hearings. He commented that while he was reading the defense spending bill, he came across a section which mentioned the Department of Defense and its, quote, providing support to civil authorities during incidents, end quote. He said this language was dangerous. Nicole Sandler mentioned Bush's directive number 51, you know, the one that crowns him king. Bottom line was that Dennis said that this was a very dangerous time for our country and said that Congress has to wake up and take our country back. I'm definitely not feeling the love, Mike. Something is going to go down, and I think it's our 08 election. Suzanne in North Miami. And here's a section, just a sentence out of it that he was referring to. Section 1615 would require the Secretary of Defense to determine the unique capabilities that the Department of Defense should provide to support civil authorities during incidents of national significance and develop a funding plan to acquire and maintain such capabilities. The Secretary of Defense would determine the unique capability. The only unique capabilities that the Department of Defense has is to blow things up and kill people. I mean, if we're talking unique, they have other capabilities, but the only capabilities unique to the Department of Defense among all departments in the U.S. government is the ability or the capability of killing people and blowing things up. Oh, God. Thanks, Suzanne. And as you know by now, McCasey has been confirmed. It happened last night. Bush thanked the Senate. In a statement from his ranch in Crawford, Texas today, down there at Prairie Chapel, where all sorts of weird stuff goes on, Bush said he will be an outstanding attorney general. In the end, McCasey was confirmed by a 53-40 vote. Six Democrats And one so-called independent joined Republicans in making sure that we have a Nazi now in control of the U.S. Justice Department. Not a panty-waist freak like Gonzalez, but a real Nazi. We have a real one in there now. This is the guy, don't forget, McCasey's the one that ordered that Padilla could be picked up and held, he's an American citizen, held with no charges, no nothing, until Padilla went insane. Same guy, same guy. Now, why did the six Democrats confirm this Nazi's nomination? Well, according to one of those Democrats, the choice was essentially between, this is Dianne Feinstein, it was between whether to confirm Michael McCasey as the next attorney general or whether to leave the Department of Justice without a real leader for the next 14 months. Are those the only two choices, Dianne? Jesus Christ Almighty. You know, somebody ought to defeat you and send someone to Washington who can really be a senator. Not some defense industry supporting shill like you, Mrs. Feinstein. What does this mean? There are only two choices? And then, referring to Bush's threat to appoint an acting attorney general not subject to Senate confirmation, she said, this is the only chance we have. It's astonishing. It's mind-boggling. The Democrats who didn't want McCasey appointed said that the problem was he refused to say whether waterboarding is torture. And demanded that Congress pass a law against the practice. We already have six or seven laws on the books that deny torture, that prohibit torture. Patrick Leahy said, quote, this is like saying when somebody murders somebody with a baseball bat and you say, well, we had a law against murder, but we never mentioned baseball bats. Murder is murder. Torture is torture. But that's the kind of Republican light that infests and is destroying, or has destroyed, the Democratic Party. Huh? Stick around. We'll have more on McCasey and some other stuff coming up. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
By the way, McCasey, former Chief U.S. District Judge in the Manhattan courthouse, that's how he signed on to Giuliani's campaign. Nazi see, Nazi do. He was first appointed to the bench in 87 by the godfather himself, Ronald Reagan. he's the one that sentenced Omar Abdel Rahman, known as the Blind Sheikh, to life in prison for a plot to blow up the Trade Tower the first time. He signed the 2002 material witness warrant that led to the FBI arrest of U.S. citizen Jose Padilla that... kept Padilla in solitary confinement for 3.5 years. And in an opinion article in the Wall Street Journal, McCasey criticized U.S. national security laws as too weak. he wants more tightening. More. Let's get rid of more of these constitutional, this stupid constitutional stuff. He is a supporter of the USA Patriot Act. And in an attempt to be wry in his writings in 2004, he wrote that the, quote, awkward name may very well be the worst thing about the statute. The name is the worst thing? Son of a bitch. And Feinstein and Schumer decided to pass this freak's name out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. They are responsible for this. Had they voted to keep this Nazi in check, that would have been in the end of it. So, when the time comes to cast blame on Mukasey's confirmation, there are two people, one from New York, one from California. Schumer, Feinstein. Now, besides Schumer and Feinstein, Democrats voting to confirm Mukasey were the usual gang of half-asses, Evan Bayh of Indiana, Tom Carper of Delaware, Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, Ben Nelson of Nebraska, Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, well, he's not a Democrat, he's a Republican, and Bernie Sanders voted against it. Not voting, get this, were Democratic presidential candidates Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Chris Dodd, and Barack Obama. See, they don't want the record. None of those four wants it on their record. How about that? 39 Democrats and one independent opposed him. Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, the senior Republican on the Judiciary Committee, said, quote, "The Department of Justice needs Mukasey at work tomorrow morning. The Department of Justice has been categorized as dysfunctional and disarray. It is an urgent need of an attorney general. Anybody, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Adolf Hitler's ghost, we don't care." Patrick Leahy said, "I am not going to aid and abet the confirmation contortions of this administration. I do not vote to allow torture," end quote. Well, Pat, if you were that serious, you could have brought the whole goddamn mess down around your ankles by simply standing up like a man in the Senate and filibustering. So don't give us this, "I don't vote to allow torture." Of course you do, you coward. Feinstein said she was confident that Mukasey would be nonpartisan. This is a guy who's been working on the Giuliani campaign. He'll be nonpartisan. And that his refusal to make a judgment on torture without knowing all the facts should not keep him from the post. Dianne Feinstein said that. She said that. She went on to say, "This man has been a judge for 18 years. Maybe he likes to consider the facts before he makes a decision." Oh, my God. Harry Reid didn't vote for him, said no. He said he opposed the choice, even though he said he was predisposed to back Mukasey, but in the end he didn't. Reid said, quote, "During his confirmation hearings, Mukasey expressed views about executive power that I and many other senators found deeply disturbing, and I was outraged by his evasive, hair-splitting approach to questions about the legality of waterboarding." Oh, my God. You realize, of course, now I know a lot of people, there's a lot of right-wing vermin out there who love the idea of torture. Yeah, torture, sons of bitches. These are your usual crop of chicken hawk cowards who've never served in the military, therefore never had a chance, or I should say never served in a combat zone, therefore never had a chance where they might be captured and tortured. If they have sons or daughters in the military, they obviously don't care if their sons or daughters are laid down, put on the rack, and have their skin peeled off. They don't care. Brent Badowski, writing, where was he writing? I don't even know. He says, "Mr. Smith has left Washington. Mr. Orwell has arrived." Badowski writes the following: "Others and I were probably advocating a filibuster against Mukasey's Attorney General confirmation bid and would have needed 41 votes to prevail." That's all they needed, 41 votes, you see? And this whole filthy rat's nest would have come to an end. As Badowski writes, "At a minimum, the filibuster could have forced Bush to accept a waterboarding and torture ban as a condition of confirmation. Democrats had 40 votes against confirmation last night, plus the four presidential candidates who did not vote. So Democrats had 43 or 44 no votes when you add the presidential candidates. And had these senators had the conviction to filibuster, Mukasey would not be there." Of course, by late last night, the BBC was correctly broadcasting to the world that the Senate had confirmed Mukasey. with all of the objections to his position on torture that were stated but surrendered yet again by Democrats. Budowski goes on to say, the Senate's contribution to our troops is to create more harm for them, as messages are beamed to the world that even the Democratic Senate cannot make a stand against torture, even when 70% of America agrees, even when they had the votes to win. Pigs. Yesterday, Budowski writes, was a new low for Democrats who surrendered the fight they would have won and were morally obligated to make on torture. And it was a new low for Lieberman, who attacks Democrats for being too strong at the exact moment of their weakest of many surrenders. Oh, man. The only people in this country that support torture are the half-wits who watch Fox News or listen to Hannity or play with themselves when Rush Limbaugh is on. That's it. Anybody else in this country understands, regardless of the merits or demerits of torture, and there are no merits, by making it acceptable on an official level, it puts our people at risk when they are captured. But the chicken hawks and the Fox viewers and the Hannity suckers and the Limbaugh play-with-yourselfers don't care because they're cowards. Attorney General Mukasey described prisoners in the war on terror as a very different kind of person. Nation editorial, November 26 issue, he was trying to explain to Senator Dick Durbin why the military's judge advocates general were wrong to condemn interrogation techniques long recognized as violations of the Geneva Convention. And in that simple phrase, that suspected terrorists are a different kind of person, in that simple phrase, Mukasey showed what he's really made of. Deciding that a class of prisoners constitutes, quote, a very different kind of person, end quote, is the psychological key to justifying the unjustifiable. Of the thousands of people that this corrupt Bush crime family has swept up and put into torture rooms and the gulag we now operate around the world, how many of those people have been tried and found guilty of crimes of terror? How many? Three? Six? One? None? How many? Oh, it's classified. I see. If waterboarding is torture, and it is, by every U.S. and international standard, then the Bush administration is willfully violating two federal criminal statutes, the Torture Law and the War Crimes Act. Two of them. Now, is it really outlawed? Congress has enacted four statutes and ratified two treaties that prohibit torture of all kinds. By any reasonable reading of the statutes, waterboarding is a crime. Waterboarding is also considered illegal under both Senate-ratified treaties. Senate-ratified treaties. Wasn't Dianne by God Feinstein aware of that? Wasn't Chuck by God Schumer aware of that? It is illegal! The applicable laws, the Federal Anti-Torture Act, the Federal War Crimes Act, which even as amended by the Military Commissions Act, bans acts such as waterboarding. Federal criminal assault laws, which under the Patriot Act apply to all assaults by or against Americans or in overseas facilities designated for the use of the federal government. The McCain Amendment in the Detainee Treatment Act, the Senate-ratified Convention Against Torture, the Senate-ratified Geneva Conventions, particularly Common Article 3, which prohibits torture and cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment of detainees. And yet Mukasey said he didn't know, and Feinstein says, well, he wants to have all the information in front of him. Oh, for Christ's sake!
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
10 before the hour. Bob, at superbeans.com, sent this in from today's Wall Street Journal's editorial page. I guess it was yesterday. A piece by Alan Dershowitz that says, among other things, this is regarding Democrats and waterboarding. Alan Dershowitz says, marginal Democratic candidates certainly benefit from moving to the left on national security issues, but serious candidates must not allow themselves to be pushed, shoved, or even nudged away from a strong commitment to national security. Consider, for example, the contentious and emotionally laden issue of the use of torture in securing preventive intelligence information about imminent acts of terrorism. There are some, now this is Alan Dershowitz writing, there are some who claim that torture is a non-issue because it never works. It only produces false information. This is simply not true, as evidenced by the many decent members of the French Resistance who, under Nazi torture, disclosed the locations of their closest friends and relatives. So, you know, Dershowitz has been described as the most peripatetic civil liberties lawyer and one of its most distinguished defenders of individual rights. So here's a supposedly ardent defender of civil rights and Jewish activist. He identifies himself that way, defending Nazi atrocities. Son of a bitch, is that, I mean, everything is bass-ackwards. Alan Dershowitz defends the Nazis' torture of French resistance fighters and uses that as a basis on which to make torture legal in America. What the hell has happened? Hey, Elie Wiesel, guess what? Dershowitz says Nazi torture is acceptable. Bob writes, so most people that are that bull goose loony don't get published at all, even in the Wall Street Journal's editorial page. It's impossible to type while in a four-point restraint. I can only assume that Dershowitz dictates his articles to a trusted stenographer who judiciously edits out the frequent ululating howls and mad laughing screams that burst from his drooling maw in betwixt his semi-coherent ruminations about the war on terror. Seriously, though, I can't get my brain around this stuff at all. But then I remember, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, and my personal favorite, chocolate rations are up! Dershowitz! Oh, my God! Torture does work! Remember what happened to the French resistance fighters when the Nazis tortured them. They gave up the names and addresses and locations of their friends and family. Oh, Dershowitz, you stinking hulk of human waste. I can't believe this. Well, oh God. All right, come, is it time for a break? I need to stop here before I completely lose it. Jesus, I say that every night, don't I? Some veterans information, since Bush is really displaying his demon side, his Hellboy side. It's one thing for this cowardly bastard, this mass killer, to use uniformed active duty soldiers as a backdrop when he's giving a speech. It's something else again for George W. Bush, the coward, the filthy deserter, for him to go into the burn unit of a veterans hospital and pick out severely, catastrophically disfigured American soldiers who are in that condition because of George W. Bush and pose with them. And that's what he did today. That's what this man did today. When I saw the pictures, I just about lost it. George W. Bush, there is no bottom point with this son of a bitch. There is no depth to which he will not go. When we had Justin Frank on the other night, the author of Bush on the Couch, it was clearly explained that George Bush is a sociopath. I call him insane. Completely insane. How do you do that? How do you send people for no reason into a situation where they are going to be horribly burned, disfigured, blown to pieces, made dead in so many instances, and then pose with them? How do you do that if you are human? Well, the quick answer is you don't. You can't. It's impossible. If you have a moral sense, if you have an ethical center, you can't do that. When you lie a nation into a war, you run and hide from the damage that you have perpetrated against these young American men and women. You hide your head in shame. You get in the basement and put your thumb in your mouth and you turn out the lights and you scream for Jesus to forgive you for what you did. That's what you do. You don't walk into the burn unit and pose. And make jokes about it. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around, or if you're just joining us. Boy, you missed a fun first hour. My God. What? Who's on the line? Oh, my God. The boss's husband is on the phone? Well, are you calling me for bail money again?
Yeah. Well, you know how it is. Me and OJ got into trouble, so, you know, what am I going to...
Shelly Drobny, one of the founders of Air America and Nova M. Hey, Shelly, what's up? The checks are still good, right?
Everything's great.
The paychecks? Okay,
good. Oh, everything's wonderful. You know, our new CEO is doing a great job.
Yes, he is. Well, that's what I've been hearing. I just thought maybe you were to call me and ask me to hold the check until Monday.
No, I never do that.
Oh, okay.
I take it out of my own pocket to pay you.
Oh.
You're my hero, Mike.
I'm your hero and you're my boss. What's up, Shelly?
Well, what's up is that Anita and I have a new show going on the air Sunday at 9 Phoenix time. It's called The Cutting Edge.
You and the boss?
Me and Anita.
Oh, my God. You have your own radio program?
Yes.
You write at Huffington Post and Op-Ed News. You have your own radio program. What's next?
There's no end to my talent.
Oh, my God.
And I'm also a visionary. I mean, look, I founded Liberal Talk Radio. I founded Nova M, broke away from Air America at the right time.
Yeah.
Got you on the air.
Yes,
got
you
a lot
did.
Of good stuff coming.
Yes, you
and
did.
And the best way to find out the inside track on Nova, Air America, Liberal Talk Radio is to tune into our show. because really you get the inside story.
What could be better,
right?
What's it called?
It's called The Cutting Edge.
The Cutting Edge. Now, it comes on 9 o'clock Phoenix time. Are you all, what are you all on?
Phoenix is Mountain Central now. Mountain Standard, excuse me. Okay.
Mountain
everybody's
Standard.
On Standard time. So we're Central time. That would be
10
a.m. Central.
Yeah.
And that would be 11 a.m.
Eastern. Okay.
And then 1 hour earlier
On the
Pacific.
West Coast.
Yeah, right.
Now, how do people listen? They have to log on to KPHX?
Right, right.
Okay.
It's free. You can log on to KPHX.
Right.
And our first show is pre-recorded because of, you know, just getting it approved by the boss. You know what I mean?
you were nervous, right?
No. No. Our CEO wants to know what's going on the air.
I see.
He didn't want me, a loose cannon, to go on the air with the cutting edge stuff. So,
well, that's,
you know,
that's true. Thank God John Manzo is there to make sure that you know that you and Anita don't get too radical.
Right, right. And I'll just give you we're going to have a live show in the future, but the subjects we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, what's the point of the program?
Okay.
First of all, how long is it? Half hour? Hour?
No, it's an hour show.
1 hour show.
And it'll give you the inside track on lots of things that I'm privy to know because of my position, not only as a venture capitalist in major corporate America, the inside track on the mucky mucks in the Democratic Party. Excuse the expression. I'm now suffering from Democratic leadership fatigue. Last year was Bush fatigue, okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
And so, you know, we have lots of good stuff, as well as, you know, talking about what's going on in Truth Radio. I don't even call it liberal radio anymore. It's just Truth Radio.
Truth Radio. So you're going to have a wide spectrum of talents. You're not going to have guests. It's just going to be you and Anita, right?
No. We are going to have guests. Because
yeah.
I have, you know, you're going to be one of my guests eventually.
Yeah.
But we're going to have other guests, of, you know, surprise guests and very important people. I mean, people that...
Wouldn't be surprised. I've seen your little black book. How long before you get Al Gore on?
Well, you know, he would go on. I just got to ask him, that's all.
He's got to
have the time. And there are a lot of other people that I can get on the air. Some of them will be live, some of them won't. But it'll be a very it's funny as hell, excuse my French. And we have Dr. Dave. He's my dentist, okay?
Yeah.
And every time I'm in the chair with him, and he's a flaming liberal, okay?
Yeah.
So under nitrous oxide, we get these great conversations, and he's got an interesting point of view. He's our producer, and it's going to be funny. It's going to be informative.
Your dentist is your producer?
Yes, my dentist is my producer.
Now, wait, you said something a second ago. I let it go by, but I've got to ask you. You said some of your guests will be live and some won't. What the hell does that mean?
Well, obviously it's a play.
Oh, some will be recorded. I thought maybe... I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe you figured something out.
Well,
you know,
we'll have some frozen bodies that will, you know, we'll talk to the netherworld.
Well, this sounds great, Shelley. Now, you're not just pulling an early April Fool's joke on me. That starts Sunday, day after tomorrow.
Day after tomorrow.
All right, 11 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, 9 p.m. Phoenix, or 9 a.m. Phoenix time. Log on to the KP, just go to Nova, and go to Novem website, right?
Right, you go to NovemRadio.com, you just go into Listen Live, and, you know, and I'll just give you the subjects we're going to talk about.
Okay.
I happen to be privy to the inside track on oil, what's going on, what a fraud it is. It's a very informative part.
You mean the price of oil going up?
Price of oil, but how it relates to gasoline and how the oil companies are robbing you. And this I got from the inside track. We did an audit of Standard Oil many years ago when I was with the IRS, so I know that it's all a fraud. And then you'll find out more about that. The other thing is we cover also Belmaro's, you know, silly statement about the conspiracy theory.
Right.
And, you know, why he's just way off base.
Right.
And then there's another little discussion about how the neocons in the far right are practicing genocide. And they're doing it in a way which is the new and improved genocide. It's better than Hitler because they don't have to get rid of the bodies. They just let people die. Okay. So, you know, this is a new form of genocide. So, you know, we're talking about these subjects and giving you kind of a better perspective of what's going on in the world and also the inside track and, you know, what everybody's interested in here with this Truth Radio.
This will be interesting. This will be very interesting. I can't wait to hear what you're going to do here.
And with Anita and I, we just have a play on words. It's like Burns and Allen. You'll laugh your behind off.
Yeah. The only thing there is it's role reversal. She's George Burns. You're Grace Allen.
No, I'm afraid not.
Say goodnight, Shelley.
I will say goodnight. Thanks, Mike, and have a good evening. Good weekend.
All right, Shelley. Okay, thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye. Take care. All right. How about that, huh? The Cutting Edge, this Sunday, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Phoenix time, 8 o'clock on the West Coast. Tune in to NovaMradio.com and listen to this. I'm going to have to do that.
What time would that be for our listeners in Malta?
You got to love Shelley. Former IRS guy, venture capitalist. I mean, he represents in so many ways everything that I'm trying to destroy and tear down. But he's got a heart of gold. No, I'm not trying to destroy capitalism. I'm trying to destroy unbridled capitalism, unrestrained predatory capitalism. Anyway, tuned in to Anita and Shelley this Sunday. That ought to be a very interesting show. What are we to 11 o'clock? Sunday morning, hell, I can listen. I can tune in. A couple of emails here about torture. This is from Prairie 2. Excuse me. In the subject line, torture does work. Well, we said it wasn't reliable. Not that it never works. It's just stupid to use it, that's all. Mike, this is just another case of the right wing winning the argument by giving both sides. Of course torture works. Sometimes we never said it didn't. It isn't reliable to the point of being useless as an intelligence tool. Smart interrogation techniques work so much better. Besides, they aren't torturing people who have information. They're just terrorizing people to keep their war going by making a billion Muslims hate us. This is from GF. Hi, Mike. Alan lost his mind about 3 years ago in defense of the Sharon government in Israel. Since the Israeli government tortures, he has no choice but to defend the practice. It's a dilemma for every Jewish liberal. How do you support an extreme right government in Israel and still call yourself a liberal? I don't know. It must be difficult. Roz writes, Dershowitz, he's that evil clown who is instrumental in pulling Norman Finkelstein down. You know what I think about Dershowitz, a horrible little man with a big yap. His first interest lies with the worst of the Zionists. He's the original Pharisee, Mike. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mass destruction. Alpha male.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. From Prairie 2, hey Mike, Bernie Sanders claimed on the Tom Hartman show today that Harry Reid sprung the vote on them with little notice so that the six senators who were out of town couldn't get back in time. Sanders further claimed that the leadership led him to believe that there weren't as many votes opposing the confirmation as there were. Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me about Reid. He's a sneak and a coward also. And this is from Ron, who is still lost in PA. Mike, what you read on the air that the Democrats said regarding the Mukasey nomination is proof positive that we've lost our government. It's a big kiss off to the handful of people in this country who are still under the mistaken impression that we can do something to stop this progression toward the dissolution of what we assumed was immutable law. It's not going to stop. Even if they start disappearing us Cassandras who live under the persistent delusion that America is a democracy, the sheer magnitude of the destruction that Bush Co. have wrought has become so monumental that the collapse of this charade would almost come as relief, because at least then we'd know what to do. For these people that we supposedly elected do not give one whit about you or me or any other plebe. For if Bush's photo op at the Brook Army Medical Center shows anything, it shows how expendable we are. This should be abundantly clear by now. Know what I mean? Ron, lost in PA. P.S. Next week, watch the Dems roll over for the FISA fix that will give AT&T and the other telecom companies immunity for breaking the law. Oh, yeah, that's coming next. There's no question. There's no question. And let's see here. Just a couple more. Ron, or Bob writes, Mike, historically, once any state sanctions torture upon people who are seen as marginal, ultimately that state turns torture upon its own citizens. The Democrats somehow believe through magical thinking that they will be somehow exempt when torture boys come a-knocking on their door. And then this from Gloria in Sacramento, who writes, as I listen to the show tonight, as you speak of people who derive pleasure from the pain of others, I wonder how anyone can. Then I realize that although I can't imagine hurting another human being, I can't honestly say that if any of these neocons were being tortured or hurt in some way, that I would make any effort to stop it. This is what I've become after years of frustration at the unpunished crimes of George Bush and company. My father used to say I would kill myself rather than run over an animal on the road. I hate the idea of hurting and killing, but most of all I hate the fact that I hate. And then, you read that piece about the last soldier to die in Iraq. I know what it is to be a young girl waiting for my love to return from war. Thankfully he did, and 35 years later I know that war is always at the back of his mind. I know what it is to wait for a son to return from military duty. Again, thankfully, he did. My son served between the Gulf Wars, and although he never saw combat, I know he saw things he will never forget and that change him forever. As I fought back the tears listening to your reading, I know that although I have never served in the military, I too have been changed forever. I was opposed to Vietnam and was proved right. I've been opposed to this war from the beginning and have been proven right again. Sadly, there's no consolation in this. I don't know what it will take for the American people to finally stand up and be heard by those who are supposed to represent us, but it has to happen soon. I want to scream from the rooftops, but I wonder if anyone will turn off their televisions or iPods long enough to listen. No, there is no consolation in being right if nothing changes. Gloria in Sacramento. Bush pushes the veterans issue to the forefront again. His posing today with these horribly disfigured people who are that way because of his filthy lies was almost too much for me to handle. This grinning monkey standing there with these soldiers, grievously wounded, disfigured forever. There are no surgeons in this country, on this planet, who can repair some of the burn damage on these men that we saw today. And there stands Bush, this monkey simian idiot, giggling and laughing with them. Well, what about this? In Long Beach, California, Iraq veteran Jason Lemieux, I guess L-E-M-I-E-U-X, I guess that's Lemieux, will not be marching in the 11th annual Long Beach Veterans Day Parade on Saturday, tomorrow. This Marine, who served three tours of duty in Iraq and is now against the war, was hoping to march as a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War, a national organization that calls for immediate withdrawal of troops from Iraq. The group's application was rejected, according to parade coordinators, because of its political views. Lemieux, a 24-year-old Anaheim, California resident, said, quote, I wanted to march like the rest of the Iraq veterans. I served my country. I'm a veteran of a foreign war. I think I deserve that respect, end quote. Iraq veterans, along with the groups Veterans for Peace and Military Families Speak Out, applied to march together in the parade this year under the entry Military Patriots. After reviewing each group's mission statement, the Veterans Day Parade Committee in Long Beach, California, voted unanimously to reject the application, said parade coordinator Martha Thuente. Martha Thuente? Thuente, T-H-U-E-N-T-E. She said, quote, they do not fit the spirit of the parade. the spirit being one of gratitude for what the veterans have done. We do not want groups of a political nature advocating the troops' withdrawal from Iraq, end quote. You filthy bitch. You filthy, filthy, filthy human being. The rejection has left many veterans and anti-war groups outraged. Long Beach, California, in their Veterans Day parade tomorrow, they're not going to allow veterans who are opposed to the war to march.
Stop the suffering and the pain.
You took an oath to defend our flag and our freedom, and you kept that oath under siege and under fire.
Oh, my God. So in Long Beach, California, veterans groups, combat veterans who are now anti-war, will not be allowed to march in the parade tomorrow. The rejection has left many veterans and anti-war groups outraged. According to the press telegram in Long Beach, California, the article goes on to say, Adrian Novotny, president of the Long Beach chapter of Veterans for Peace, a national nonprofit that advocates nonviolence, VA health care, and veterans' rights, says, I think it's absurd. It's a violation of democracy, the whole concept for which we are allegedly dying. Oh, my God. The parade each year, it's put together, I guess, by a private group. It generates funds through community fundraisers and corporate sponsors. According to the spokes bitch for this parade, she said Paramount Petroleum Corporation donated $10,000 this year. Oh, okay. Petroleum company. Yeah, we'll keep the war veterans out. The city of Long Beach, California did offer to set up a designated area near the parade where groups can stand and hold up signs. You know, if I were a combat veteran, yeah, I'm going to say this. If I were a combat veteran and had been in a war zone and came back and some miserable son of a bitch said this to me, I would lock and load and find that person. And then I'd spend the rest of my life in prison. Pat Alviso, a member of Military Families Speak Out, maintains that the group is not there to protest. Military Families is an organization of people opposed to the war in Iraq who have relatives or loved ones currently in the military or have served in the military. Pat Alviso said, quote, we are not protesting this parade. These are good people serving this country. It's an insult to be put in a free speech area. We are members of that parade, and we are proud to be with them. Pat Alviso said only 10 or 12 people from all three groups combined had planned to march in the parade tomorrow, but now that they've been rejected, the groups expect many more outraged members to show up. And back to Marine veteran Lemieux, he said he just wants his voice to be heard. He said, quote, it feels like I've been betrayed by the very people I fought to serve. They should be embarrassed by themselves, end quote. Well, I respect a Marine who can be that contained and controlled after some arrogant spokes bitch says you're not going to march in the parade because you're political, because you now, that you've been in a combat zone, you now advocate the end of the war. That's political. You're not going to march. Like I said, I know my limitations. I know what I'm capable of, and I know the streak of violence that I have inside of me. And if I came back from a war zone and somebody told me I could not march against the war in a parade, there would be corpses. Among them would be mine, I'm sure, because I would face overwhelming firepower from some freaked-out SWAT squad who would take me down and take me out very quickly. But I would definitely make sure that the person denying me, a combat veteran, three tours in Iraq, a Marine, the right to march in that parade, that person, well, man, that's unbelievable. Astonishingly unbelievable. Meanwhile, back in the real world, George W. Bush was entertaining the troops again. Oh, and by the way, the Veterans Administration has found a new way to deny disabled vets. This is at opednews.com. You might remember the last tactic the VA used in their fight not to pay benefit claims. and that was the second signature required on applications to approve a post-traumatic stress disorder claim. If there was no second signature, they denied your claim. Since that process was brought to light, R.L. Ankers wrote this, and supposedly scrapped by the VA, they've had to develop a new scheme to defraud veterans. Now, multiple reviews are required against claims that are 8 years old or older, or claims which, if paid, would result in a lump payment of over $250,000. Isn't it ironic that if the VA did its job correctly, there wouldn't be any claims that old, or that would require a lump sum payout of $250,000 if they did their job? And this veteran, R.L. Ankers, Air Force veteran, disabled veteran, says, quote, if there are claims over 8 years old, shouldn't those be the claims that are fast-tracked instead of creating even further delays? Oh, wait a minute, that's right. If a veteran dies before the claim is resolved, the spouse is only entitled to 2 years' worth of payments owed to the deceased vet. That's a savings to the VA of roughly $180,000 per dead veteran. So, veterans denied to march in Long Beach, California. Veterans denied benefits. Meanwhile, Bush goes to the Center for the Intrepid, that new center in San Antonio, Texas today, and poses, this filthy, cowardly son of a bitch poses with hideously disfigured veterans who are in the condition they're in because of this lying rat bastard. It's almost unbearable to watch this giggling killer chum around with the warriors he's personally wounded and use them for another photo op. And it's especially ironic, given the recent news that more than 25% of the homeless population in this country are military veterans, although they make up only 11% of the population. Son of a bitch. All right, here's Chuckle Nuts extolling the virtues of the Center for the Intrepid in Texas today.
The Center for the Intrepid makes use of the best available technologies to give severely injured service members and amputees the opportunity to lead full and productive lives.
After you've maimed
them. That's the mission.
Yeah.
The mission is to take a good man who I've met before and help him live a full and productive life.
Unless he becomes homeless.
These facilities include a pool, a wave runner. By the way, this guy from Oklahoma handled those waves pretty well. An indoor running track, a two-story climbing wall, prosthesis center, a virtual driving program that teaches patients how to control an automobile. That was my driver right there. A fully furnished apartment that helps patients learn to adjust to disabilities in the real life world.
Oh, my God. That was my driver right there. Bet he'd rather have his legs back, George, than cart your murderous ass around, huh? You think? A fully furnished apartment, that helps patients learn to adjust to disabilities in the real life world, unlike the fake world of your phony war. It's just an outrage. This filthy son of a bitch sends these people into a fake war that produces real tragedy, real wounds, real disabilities that will be that these young soldiers will deal with long after George Bush's ass is rotting in a coffin someplace, and he has the temerity to show up and strut around with these people with his crap-eating grin, making little jokes. Hi, that boy over there, where's my driver? That boy over there, he hit that wave runner real good, didn't you? How'd it feel, soldier, with them legs all gone and stuff? Monkey Man had the gall to talk about the trauma of post-traumatic stress disorder he caused in these young people. Remember, the Department of Veterans Affairs had been working overtime to deny the medical claims of brain-damaged Iraqi war veterans, the claim being that they had psychiatric problems before they went into combat. Son of a bitch. That's a lie, but let's step back, step into backward Bush world for a moment and assume it's true. If they believed these soldiers had pre-existing psychiatric problems, why would they send them into combat?
We're working to aggressively prevent and treat post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury. A new National Center for Excellence for PTSD and Traumatic Brain Injury has just hired its first staff members and moved into temporary offices.
Oh, joy!
purpose is to develop best practices.
Oh, yeah.
The real purpose is to make sure we help those coming out of combat to be able to adjust to real life as a civilian.
Oh, my God.
Congress needs to take prompt action on measures that will send a clear signal that we support our troops in the field, and we support them when they're coming off the field.
Sure you do.
That we support those in harm's way, and that we support those to the best possible care and rehabilitation facilities.
How's the black mold situation at Walter Reed, George? Huh? Has that been fixed yet? Huh? We support them when they're coming off the field. You couldn't care less about what you consider, you filthy bastard, to be toy soldiers after you break them. They're useless to you. Throw them away and get some more. This man causes a sense of disgust inside of me I didn't know I was capable of. Just unbelievable. There's one more from this pig. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
It's an election year and the troops over here, you don't need us. You say that the war here is over, but more of us die every day. And I don't know why we are fighting. Was it all just a lie anyway, like they say? See, Mr. President, I have a wife in Wisconsin. Though I write every day, I've been so long away, I've forgotten. When I close my eyes, I can't see her. It's only this war in my head. I try to bury my fear, but I always carry the dead, carry them home. And I have seen better men fight to the bitter end, following over.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
I was born like this. I had no choice. I was born with the gift of a golden voice and 27 angels from the great beyond.
10 before the hour. All right, here's the last one from Chuckle Nuts at the Wounded Warriors. I'm with Wounded Warriors at the Center for the Intrepid in San Antonio, Texas today. The nerve of him, just the absolute unmitigated gall of this draft-dodging coward to go visit critically wounded and hideously disfigured combat veterans who are in the condition they're in because of his lies. It's amazing to me that this remorseless human being, George Bush, with absolutely no ethical or moral center whatsoever, can do this. But do it he can. Bush now talks about how wonderful it is that a soldier gets his legs blown off in his illegal war and came running with him at the White House. If you hear a gagging sound behind the soundbite, it's me vomiting.
Service members being treated here and at other veterans' facilities are focused on what they have left to give rather than what they have lost.
What more do you want?
Christian Baggy is a guy I met over here at the hospital. I'll never forget looking at Christian's eyes and wondering whether or not he was going to make it. See, both his legs were blown off and he didn't look good.
Jesus Christ.
He told me one thing. He looked at me and he said, Mr. President, you don't need to worry about me. Someday I'm going to come to the White House and run with you on the South Lawn. I looked at him and said, come on, Christian. I'll be ready when you are. Not sure, whether or not this good man would really be able to do it. After all, he'd just come off the battlefield and lost both his legs. Sure enough, the phone call came to the White House. Christian came. Guy who had both legs blown off as a result of the care and compassion and as a result of the courage in his heart, came to run with the president at the White House.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I looked at him and said, come on, Christian, I'll be ready when you are. Not sure whether or not this good man would really be able to do it. After all, he'd just come off the battlefield and lost both his legs. No, he didn't lose them, George. You lose your tie. You lose your car keys. Your legs are blown off, you dumb bastard, because some filthy pig like you sends American soldiers into a war zone for no reason. Except your lust for power, your immorality, your amorality, and this sick psychopath Dick Cheney, who rides herd on all of this. Veterans who focus on what they have left to give? What more do you want, you vampiric son of a bitch? Rather than what they have lost, how do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night? Boy, I wish I could clean up my language and kind of approach these issues the way my good friend Tom Hartman does. And not be cursing so much. Oh, man. All right, email here, and then when we come back after the break, your phone calls. Mike, since Congress voted away our habeas corpus, I've been thinking about a way to protest. Since I'm a cancer patient, hitting the streets and walking with other patriots is not an option. Little known type of breast cancer, which has metastasized to my brain. It's IBC, the most aggressive of all types of breast cancer. Nevertheless, back to the subject of protest. I decided on postcards. Yep, postcards. Homemade from index cards. They're inexpensive, come in different colors, and allow for individual creativity. I checked with the White House, the Postal Service, and an ACLU attorney to see if it's okay. White House says they receive homemade postcards to the decider all the time. And the Post Office says as long as they have a 14-cent stamp, they're okay. The ACLU suggests not signing them, and that works since signatures and return addresses are not required. So imagine a million or more postcards sent to the decider daily, saying anything you like. Shame on you. Idiot. You suck. Impeach you. No more war. The Constitution is more than a goddamn piece of paper, etc., etc. All the things that you've been wanting to say. Just use your imagination. I've been looking for the photo of Bush giving the finger on camera. I thought it would be a great photo to scan on a card and send it right back. But think about it. Even our kids can join in while coloring pictures of peace signs. We need a citizen action and protest that is unprecedented. And we need to burst the bubble that surrounds the decider and the media. The best thing about postcards is that they are read by all who come in contact with them. And the Postal Service is the only branch of government that hasn't been co-opted. I'm thinking we can count on them to not only deliver the cards, but to talk to everyone about them. I'm calling it Postcards from the Edge. The title is self-explanatory. Don't have a website or anything. Like I said, cancer in the brain that impacts my vision. So tell anyone who wants to take this and run with it to do so. Do so, by all means. I'll continue to send my cards daily. I invite you and your listeners to join me. This can only be an unprecedented protest and sign of civil disgust. This can be an unprecedented protest and sign of civil disgust only if millions participate. Thanks for reading this. Oh, and please let folks know about IBC, Inflammatory Breast Cancer. They have a website, ibcarf.com. ibcarf.com. I would appreciate if you would please share the link with your audience. ibcarf.com. That's from Janet in Bowie, Maryland. Thanks, Janet. The website she wants you to check, take a look at it, all right? ibcarf.com. We'll be right back.
Like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a horse, like a knife from an old fashioned book, I have saved all my ribbons.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour, the Malloy program on Nova M Radio. We may have a little treat for you before the program's over tonight, so stick around. This is from Mayflower, Arkansas, from Mayflower Mike. He writes, Mike, great show. We have at our Samba party with Mike Malloy tonight 4 veterans from Iraq, 6 from Vietnam, 5 from World War II, and 1 from the Korean War. And he said we have to say this, the Korean police action. Politically, some are a little to the right, but after 2 hours of Mike Malloy, we all agree on one thing. George W. Bush wouldn't last 30 minutes with us. Great party. Thanks for such a good show. The old guys like me salute the young ones from the proud 39th of Arkansas. Help and bless America. Mayflower Mike. Oh, we have 52 people for the Samba party. Wow.
Okay.
What? I was the lead item on O'Reilly tonight? Oh, God, this is great. Well, we're going to try to capture the audio off of this and play it for you before the program's over tonight. All right, let's do some phone calls here. Starting with Casey in Chicago, who's listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Casey.
Hey, how you doing, Mikey?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, listen, you know what? I'm glad to have found you back on Sirius. I remember you on the LS days here in the 90s, and that station went into the toilet. Let you know, I'm not going to torture you real long because I'm sure you have a lot of phone calls to take care of. I had 3 quick points, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, you're like the Captain Kirk of all this stuff, and Hartman's like Spock with the technical stuff.
All right, I'll accept that.
Okay, here, quickly, Dershowitz. Drop the R out of his last name. That's what he is. You got to remember, he defended O.J. So his credibility out the window. Pat Robertson. They all have that same kind of pumpkin head look with the squinty eyes and the Catholic priest talk, you could say, because I was raised Catholicism. But the point I did call is this. I heard Shelley earlier,
yeah,
and I've even heard Kathy reel you in once in a while. I'm married. I'm 41, same woman since the age of 18.
Uh-huh.
Where was Laura in all of this as far as being his second voice, you could say, or go, you know, step back, little boy, or,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, we all have that, you know, that they always say a great man has a good woman behind him. Where is she in all of this?
I don't know. Laura, he's not a great man. He's an imbecile. He's a clown. Laura Bush is a junkie. She eats Valium the way you and I eat M&Ms. She murdered one of her boyfriends when she was younger. She's a freak. She's an absolute freak, and so is he.
Yeah, but you know what? Technically, being a teacher, she's supposed to be more schooled than... and smart.
Oh, she's not a teacher. She may have taught in a school, but she's not a teacher. There's a difference.
Oh, you're right about that. Mikey, I got to tell you one thing, man. I am so glad I have found you again. And it's a fight, man.
I am too, Casey. Thanks a lot, pal.
Hey, listen.
Wait. What, Casey? What?
Can I talk to your screener for a second?
I don't know. I'll put you on hold. Maybe he'll talk with you, and maybe he'll just not. Thanks, Casey. Mary Ann is calling. She's our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief, listening via the Internet. Hey, Mary Ann.
Hey, Mike. Oh, my God. Alan Dershowitz. I mean, yeah, what was his point? Like, see, the Nazis did everything they could to win,
right.
But I thought that they didn't. Who won that war?
Dershowitz has really lost it. I mean, he's in a horrible position because he supports the most extreme right-wing government that the Israelis could ever have.
Yeah, well, that's it. He's hung up on
that.
On the Likud party right-wing. I mean, there was, earlier last week, there was a big peace rally in Israel, but they go on all the time. We never hear about them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, I was just thinking about all the things that happened this week that just once again make us sick to our stomach, like we've been totally abandoned and betrayed. But, you know, you got to step back and ask yourself, how can this Senate and Congress be so stymied by a 29% at most president and his less than 10% approval rating VP? I mean, you know, they're not all individually stupid or weak.
I don't know what it is,
Well,
Marianne.
You know, they do. There's this weird thing that has gone on. They've adopted this beltway mentality, this, like, insular, delusional set of, like, memes that they're all just talking to each other. Now, that might be our fault. We haven't been asserting our roles as citizens. But, you know, this sort of lack of being in touch with the rest of us has just left them straddling positions that are completely inconsistent with being a Democrat and as being an American. And, you know, that basically they've left with the way politics are right now, with trying to attack or govern from positions of inherent weakness. I mean, inherent weakness with regards to their own principles. Now, I thought of that this week because I was at a Democratic debate over here in the 14th District, Illinois. And you've had one of, I think, the best candidate, John Lash, on your show more than once. And it's amazing. He did great. I mean, any one of these guys I would vote for. But, you know, it just struck me. And I know one of the other guys he's running against.
Mm-hmm.
I've known him for over 25 years. You know, he's a good guy. But they've just bought into this notion that they have to be mainstream. And then there's this argument that everywhere I go hearing my guy Lash, he makes the best impression, but the kind of worst thing people can say about him is, well, he's not serious because he isn't raising enough money. And
yeah,
I'm like,
that part is absolutely shocking.
And you know what? That's not even true, because one of these guys is being backed by Rahm Emanuel. So, you know, it's not like the Rahm Emanuel's hand-picked guys raised money. I mean, mm-hmm. Tammy Duckwerk in her bed in Walter Reed Hospital didn't raise money. I mean, that was the DCCC that did that. So the DCCC decides that they're going to go with a candidate. And, you know, what was, like, Rahm Emanuel's track record last year for his 10 favored Dems?
Well, he got a whole handful of them elected, but the problem is,
I know, I don't think his original 10, he didn't get many.
No, but if you check the voting record of the ones he did back, they side with the Republicans more often than they side with the Democrats.
Well, that's it. You know, and we're locked in this thing. Well, we've got to raise money. You've got to be serious or we won't back you. But when you raise money, like the kinds of cash they're talking about, you're dealing with rich people, you're dealing with institutions, you're dealing with the DCCC, and it's like it's a vicious circle, and you never break out of that. So therefore, they're always, you know, looking weak. I mean, all of them, the whole being so much less than the sum of the parts in this mm-hmm. instance. And I'm really getting fed up with, you know, just this money being mentioned.
Oh, God.
And now we've got another one, your friend and mine, Nancy Skinner,
right,
who decided to run. And I've noticed that
she's running again.
She's running against
Nolenberg.
And she did great. I mean, she got
she did. She's going to beat his ass this time. She's going to get him the next time.
Not if the DCCC can help him. I mean, they've picked their guy who, you know, probably, again,
they picked somebody other than Nancy to run against Nolenberg?
Yeah,
you're kidding.
Peter, I can't remember his name, but he's basically got the entire Michigan Democratic congressional team behind him.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, it's the same thing. There's this fellow in the 14th District here, the same thing. They're all getting behind them. They're so afraid. They can't even move. And what they're not getting is that when they are looking over their shoulder, afraid to take any stand, because for fear of being weak,
mm-hmm.
they are weak.
Yeah.
You can't hide that.
Right. They are weak. Absolutely. Marianne, thanks. I've got to go. We got a break here. Thanks, Marianne. I appreciate it. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Past the hour. I don't believe this. We got a couple of emails that said we were the lead story on this half-assed Bill O'Reilly's program this evening on Fox News Channel. And so Kathy brought up the rebroadcast here at 11 o'clock in the Eastern time zone. And sure enough, we're the lead story. Mike Malloy, the lead story on this falafel-loving pervert Bill O'Reilly's program. So we're going to play the audio for you here in a couple of minutes. Stick around after the break at the bottom of the hour. I was wondering why all of a sudden I got seven or eight idiotic emails from O'Reilly's really, really educated audience. And I couldn't figure it out earlier tonight. I guess on the first broadcast, you know, misspelled words and just doofus kind of emails, which I love to get. The only problem I have, I don't know where he got the picture, but that picture of me that he put up on the screen was taken 20 years ago. Oh, my God, when I was a young person. You go, O'Reilly! You sick son of a bitch! Thanks for the publicity! All right, back to your phone calls. Bruce is calling from California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Bruce, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, Mike.
Hi.
A couple things. I wanted to, first of all, just tell you that, you know, your comments about the Iraq veterans against the war and Long Beach, I don't know if you recollect or not, but I sent you a poem that my father wrote about D-Day, and you read it on the air.
Yes, I do remember that.
And, you know, it's I'm not a veteran myself, but I spent a lot of time at the Long Beach VA hospital because that's where he was before he died. And, you know, it just tears me up to think that they're being excluded like that. I don't know what to say, but I see you as much more of a true patriot than these idiots that are excluding these men.
It's astonishing to me. How can you say to a three tours of duty Marine combat veteran, you're not going to march in the parade because you oppose the war?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
They did it.
Yeah, I know they did.
I mean, you know, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I also know that that you don't particularly like compliments, but I got to give you one. I listened to your reading of Telltale Heart and the Requiem for the Last Soldier in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and your entire 1984. And I've got to tell you that you do better with the written word when it comes to reading it than anybody I have ever heard in my life.
Well, thanks.
I really mean that. You just floor me the way you handle the written word and bring it to life. And you ought to take that 1984 thing that you've already done and sell it as a book on tape. Make some money on the side.
Yeah.
It's already done.
I could use some money on the side.
Well, it's already done, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's out there.
Well, Bruce, can just slice it together. All right. Good
That's
luck.
Very, Thank very kind of you to say that. Thanks so much.
Well, it's a sincere feeling. All right.
All right.
Good night.
Well, I appreciate it. Take care. That is nice. Thank you. Sanchez is calling from Montbello, Arizona. Hey, Sanchez. Welcome to the program.
Buenas noches, Senor Malloy.
Buenas noches a tu, Senor Sanchez.
I must apologize at the very top of here because I'm in such a nasty, snarly mood right here. So.
Oh, yeah?
You know, it's been a bad week. It's been a bad few 3 days here. But let me first compliment you, too, on Justin Frank, the interview you did with Justin Frank. It was a long time coming, but that was a great interview.
He's easy to interview because you just ask the questions and he's got the facts.
Yeah, yeah. No, I tried to read that book. I know I talked to you at one point about this months ago, but I got so frustrated. I only got past the first chapter and had to put it down because I got so frustrated over it. It's so apparent, you know. Where do I start here, man? I pitched this idea to Ian because I know it is a talking point, but over the past 3 days, ever since Kucinich filed the H.R. 333, the articles on Wednesday, I've been hearing. Now, I know that they do it. I know that they do talking points. I don't know if they're coming from the DNC, the DLC, or the DDOC. I don't even know, but I've heard a few talk show hosts, including Bill Press. I know he's a centrist, but he was the first one that pitched it out after impeachment. And every single politician that I heard on the various talk shows throughout the radio dial for the past 3 days.
Hey, Sanchez, yeah. Sanchez, let me put you on hold. I got to take this break. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
The president will also call on President Musharraf to take off the uniform.
The United States wants you to have the elections as scheduled and take your uniform off.
He will take off his uniform.
Yes, yes, yes. You can leave your hat on.
And you need to take off your uniform.
You can leave your hat on.
Take off the uniform.
Message was very, very plain.
He will take off his uniform.
Take off your uniform.
Take off the uniform.
Take your uniform off.
Take off his uniform.
You need to take off your uniform.
Before the hour, we're talking with Sanchez, who is called in from Montbello, California. All right, Sanchez, wrap it up for me because I've got something I want to play for you you're going to love.
Okay, the Democrats are more concerned with the survival of the Democratic Party than they are with the survival of the democratic process. By Pelosi's behavior, merely in refusing to go with impeachment, despite the obvious need to uphold the democratic process, She's merely endorsing the further destruction and abuse of the Constitution. Plus, at this point, by refusing to voting down the war, stopping the war, right now at this point, she and all the other spineless Democrats who refuse to do anything about the war have got the blood of the American soldiers on their hands at this point. There's no other way to really again, I'm really agitated about this, but there's no other way to really say it at this point. This needs to be driven home. If they don't want to stop this war, then the blood, besides Bush, is on their hands because they could do something about it, and they refuse to. And we are all out here screaming, man. We're screaming like you because we're all pissed. I don't know what to do other than just to say it like that. And they, if they think, if they foolishly believe that they have the 2008 elections locked up, they've got another thing coming, because there's so many people out here that don't believe that they have the leadership to carry it across. It's John Kerry and Swift boat all over again, man.
I hear you. I hear you. Sanchez, thanks for checking in. I appreciate, appreciate what you had to say, pal. Unbeknownst to us, you know, I got a little spate of seven or eight little nasty, poorly written, obscenity at least, hate mail emails this evening. I couldn't figure out why. Usually when I get them from the right wingers, they can't spell right and they can't put together a sentence. So I thought, what the hell is this? So I find somebody said, well, you were the lead story on O'Reilly. I said, you're kidding me. So on the rebroadcast, we got it on tape. Here it is. Listen to this.
For the top story tonight, another moron, but this one may have violated the law. Far left radio commentator Mike Malloy was once heard on the despicable Air America network, recently said this about White House spokesperson Scott McClellan and Dana Perino.
I used to have violence fantasies about Scott McClellan.
Do I sound that bad?
Because of the impenetrable wall of idiocy and supposed ignorance, some of which was probably not supposed, that behind which he used to hide at every press conference. All those feelings are being shifted now to Dana Perino. We're going to haul all these pigs out in front of the American people.
Bad edit.
And they're
going
to be forced to testify. If you testify and tell the truth, nothing will happen to you except you can take your shame and humiliation and go about your business.
The question, was that monologue a threat? Joining us now from Hartford, Connecticut, Asha Rangappa, a former FBI agent who specialized in counterintelligence. Okay, now, in 2005, Randy Rhodes, another nut on the Air America network, was investigated by the FBI for an on-air stuff she did involving a gunshot warning to President Bush. What is the standard where the FBI, Secret Service, would get involved in investigating someone like Ms. Rhodes or this Metter guy?
Malloy.
Well, when a threat is made against a public official, particularly against the president, it's going to be taken seriously by law enforcement. In the case of the president, it'll usually be handled by the Secret Service. And their goal
what about
to determine
press secretary?
Whether it's a credible threat, and also to neutralize any imminent danger.
Press secretary.
That the
all right. Now you just heard this Malloy person say what he said, that he had violence fantasies, call them pigs, and that. Would that be enough, in your opinion, based upon your experience, for somebody to go in and check this guy out?
Sure. The Secret Service would do some investigating to determine whether this is a credible threat. They would look at potentially
his
criminal
background,
his propensity for violence, the context in which the comment was made, the specificity, and his ability to react.
So this, what he said, this Malloy, could get him investigated by the authorities. Now,
sure.
What's the difference between saying something about White House personnel, congressional personnel, Congress, House of Representatives, and just regular folks? Is there a difference in the law?
Yes, there is. Public officials have additional protection. They are exposed to a greater number of people. Our history shows that they are
vulnerable
to certain types of
that
threats,
he said
and
about Hillary
therefore
Clinton
threats
ready.
Against
okay.
them are taken more right. seriously.
Is there a law, specific law, that you can be prosecuted if you say certain things? Look, people say, I want to kill Bill O'Reilly all the time. Right? And there's nothing I can do about it.
I'm one of them!
Unless they show up and they act in a menacing way. But if I say, I want to kill President Bush, or I have violent fantasies about his White House spokespeople, can they be prosecuted just for saying that?
Well, you will be examined more closely or investigated based on
not.
What you say. But whether you'll be prosecuted for it is going to be determined by your intent behind what you say.
All right. So you'd have to have some kind of actionable cause that,
yeah.
that you would bring in. Now, when Secret Service FBI are around a president, vice president, or and members of Congress, and they see an individual.
Spokesperson.
With an offensive sign, maybe an obscene sign. Something
spokesperson.
Like, they can remove by law that individual from the proximity of the public servant, correct?
If it is construed or determined to be a threat to the person that they are protecting, yes.
All right, so if this Mike Malloy showed up at a Bush speech or something like that, you could grab the guy and take him out just about what he said in the past.
Well, maybe and maybe not. Maybe again, not. I don't know the details of what they might have found out about him.
Find anything about him, he's on the record as saying that he's had violent fantasies about two White House personnel. Maybe one of the personnel is in the proximity of the president. He shows up. Can you yank him out of there?
You can if you determine that he may be willing to act on that threat if it's determined based on an investigation of other factors.
All right. That's a little murky, but I guess that's all we can do. I'd yank him out of there myself. I wouldn't
sure
take
you
a
would.
Chance. Not with what
Anytime,
we've had against the presidents in the past. Mr. Rangappa, thanks for your time. We
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It very much. Next on the rundown, guess who's behind?
Oh, Jesus God.
I kept expecting him any minute to say, oh, you know, you got really nice boobs.
Yeah, really? Did you see the way he was looking at the monitor? What a waste of human DNA O'Reilly is. Now, what did he say?
Go out and give
he
some falafel.
He said if Hillary Clinton is elected, he's going to what? What was that?
No,
quote?
No, no. This was on.
If Hillary wins, my guns are loaded.
Now, that was on his blog site.
His blog site.
And
okay.
He didn't write that. That was something that one of his regular posters wrote it, but he defended it. So that's
all I'm
saying. This was a dust up, I think, about 6 months ago, if you don't remember this. It was the Secret Service, I believe, actually did look into some of this because, obviously saying if Hillary wins, my guns are loaded are a little bit different than
well,
saying
I wish,
I'm having
I wish
violent
any, I
fantasies.
I hope that somebody who listens to O'Reilly, and there were seven or eight of them who emailed me tonight, and again, I wish you right wing dumb bastards would just learn how to spell ass. Learn how to spell some of the language that you used with me. Oh my God, you are so stupid. But I wish that some of you who wrote to me tonight will write to O'Reilly and thank him on my behalf. I mean, my God, we have the lead story for the tens and tens of people who watch his program.
Well, and it went on forever.
And the picture they had up there was 25 years old. I would kill to look like that again.
There's nothing not to love about it, especially, I mean, I love the lead story. And he went on for like 6 minutes trying to pin down the FBI
and
cutie.
And the former FBI cutie just kept saying,
well
not really,
you know.
Bill.
Well, let me just put it. If Mike was in an elevator with somebody who might be at a Bush press conference someday, and Mike sneezed, could they call the Secret Service?
Well, Bill, maybe.
But if he's close to somebody who might they'd have to look at his intentions and whether or not he had a. Do you have a criminal background? Do you have violent criminal background?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I know you had that parking ticket.
Nothing I've been caught
okay.
at.
All right.
There was the drug charge.
Well, there was the violent, the traffic
There was
violation.
The reefer charge.
Oh, well, that's
you know, but that was 30 years ago. I don't think that's...
Well, that's probably back when that picture was taken. It may still be on file with the
God.
Picture. But, no, that just cracks me up. I love it. You know, bring it on, Bill. More power to you.
God.
I'm an O'Reilly fan now.
Bill O'Reilly. This scum-sucking twit. Oh, my God.
Careful now, because O'Reilly may show up at a press briefing someday, and you've called him some... You used the word pigs also the other day, so
that's
pigs
true.
Is apparently a bad word.
What a whack job.
And
oh
what was it Glenn Beck said about strangling Michael Moore with his bare hands?
Well, the right-wingers are allowed to say things, and us left-wing liberals are not, but I'll do it anyway. And as far as O'Reilly is concerned, hey, Bill, kiss my grits. Jesus.
We ought to invite him on the show. I'd
O'Reilly?
No,
I don't bring half-wits, demons, devils, or twits.
Well, he'll take you on, by God. He'd drag you out of that press briefing real quick.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Yeah.
10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew of co-conspirators, who probably also have had violent fantasies. Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. What a twit. What's the matter, Bill? Not enough crap going on in the world. You got to pick up poor little Mike Malloy. Thank you.
Mike Malott.
Malott? Is that what he called me? Back to your phone calls. Philip is calling from St. Louis, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Philip, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. You had someone on earlier that was talking about sending postcards to the White House en masse, and I think, unfortunately, I think Bush is so sick and twisted that it would only result in him getting off. I mean, really, if you think about it, he takes so much joy in frustrating his enemies. I think just the bigger the pile of cards, the bigger the orgasm he would have.
I kind of like the idea, though. It was an email from one of our listeners who can't participate in demonstrations. I like her idea.
Oh, I like the idea, too. I think it might be more effective if you sent it to your representatives or your senators.
Well, see, the thing about postcards, if it comes in an envelope, it's going nowhere because they're terrified of anthrax or rat poison or...
I totally agree. I just think the target might be better served with someone who would actually pay attention and wouldn't enjoy receiving dissent letters. I think Bush would just enjoy it too much.
Well, you know you may be right. He's such a pervert. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, Philip, if that were the case. Thanks for checking in, pal. Mark is calling from Georgia, listening on the Internet. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey. I just want to tell you, I actually heard Bill O'Reilly speak. You know, I heard him talking on the thing about your show. And I know you laugh about it, but I think there's something more to it. I think this man is trying to shut down all dissent. I really believe that. I think he has gone off the deep end. I think he thinks that he is the reincarnation of Joe McCarthy or Father Coughlin, I believe.
He's a real Nazi and apparently somebody who likes to sexually harass his employees. I normally don't talk about him. I think Keith Olbermann does a good job of keeping this twit on edge.
He
does a wonderful job. So there's no reason for me to talk about Bill O'Reilly. He's just another in a long list of real schmucks that happen to have positions on air. Glenn Beck is another one. Of course, you know my pantheon of these half-wits. But the fact that he had to devote the first 6 minutes of his program to me, I think it's great. I'm just so grateful. I wish one of his half-witted listeners would send him an email and say, Malloy says thank you.
Well, you know, it would be a good idea for all progressive radio radio hosts to read the transcript from Andrea Macris's, her deposition on the, you know, when she filed charges against him for sexual harassment. Have you read those before?
I haven't.
Can I say the word vibrator on here?
I guess so.
Okay. Well, while he was talking to her, she said that he was using a vibrator.
I wouldn't be surprised. He is like so many over the hill, out of shape, ugly, bad breath, middle-aged white men who can only have fantasies about, you know, whatever sex life he might have thought he had at one time. And it's usually on people against women who are in subservient positions who can't resist because their job is at stake. He's a real piece of human waste. I don't know why I'm sort of tickled I was on his program, because the only people that listen to him are not people who would listen to this program.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. But I just found it all very, very interesting and bottom line kind of sad. But
he is the worst piece of, I can't say that word.
Oh, I know you can't. You really can't.
But there he is. I mean, to me, there is nobody worse. Not even Rush, the drug addict.
No, not even Rush. O'Reilly would like to be Rush. O'Reilly had a radio program at one time. I don't know if he still has it, but the only way he got it out there was to pay affiliates to carry it, and there were no ratings, so I think it all went away. But anyway, whatever. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it, Mark. Take care, pal. All right, take care. Mark, another homeboy from Georgia who is dealing with the drought. Alan is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Alan.
Hi, it's becoming a regular thing, me closing out your week.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
See you next week. Anyhow, I had another sick insight last night. Actually, not specifically sick. The sickness is what we saw this week. We saw some really good things happen this week, what with Kucinich and even Wexler here in Florida, who's trying to back some sort of hearings on this. But then I was listening to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and others on the radio triangulating and talking about all these other important agendas that they have to take care of between now and then, blah, 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 blah. Suddenly it occurred to me that this is just, we've been thinking in some ways that it's just, why don't they get it? Why don't they understand what's important and what's not important? It's not that they don't get it. They're the wrong people to be there. Mm-hmm. Our whole system has been set up for decades and decades and decades because of the money involved to eliminate caring, thoughtful, informed people from even entering the process, whether it be the primary or the final elections. It feeds on people who are willing to go in and triangulate. So it's they're there doing what they naturally would do. It's a self-selection process that puts the wrong people making decisions about the rest of society there.
I hear you.
I think that's sort of what's sort of troubling to me. Mm-hmm. That we've been in this for decades, and we build it up. It's the money in the system, and what have you. And so we're reaping the results of it. You know, I'm personally a green. That's because years ago I saw the outcome I thought would mm-hmm. happen if push came to shove. This is how it would react because they don't have. It's not that they don't have the vision or the backbone. It's just that they can't go anywhere because it's not in them.
I think that's exactly the case, Alan. They can't go there because it's not in them. Hey, listen, thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. I got to leave it there. We got a boogie. What, someone's knocking at the door, Kathy? Do you hear that? Oh, my God.
Well, Mike, one time I saw him, he was at the grocery store, and he made some rude comments to the clerk.
Yeah, when they come to question me, you'll say, who, Mike Malloy? No, I'm not
married. Mike Malott.
Thanks for participating this week, Truth Seekers. I appreciate it very much. Take care. Have a good weekend, okay? I'll see you Monday. Keep it lit. Oh, and have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.